Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
All right, welcome into the Labatt Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Thanks for joining us. We have a jam-packed full hour of Penn State football for you. 2-0 Nittany Lions. I'm Andy Shea. Joining me in studio to kick off our show this week, Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News, Bob Flounders. Bob, how was Pittsburgh?
It was a little wet, but I think he probably knew that. Just have to say, in the elements, what Penn State was able to do in the second half of that game, I just don't know if many Penn State fans really saw that coming. If you did, kudos, but that was really, really impressive. And it was an indication of just how talented the roster is when they start to figure things out. And they figured it out in the second half.
Yeah, they got some help from the other side, but we'll talk about
maybe
a little bit. The third member of our team, that would be Ross the Boss, Mr. Ross Tucker. He'll join us shortly. We're going to kick off the show with Bob's six-pack for Saturday for Kent State. Quarter number two is Tucker's Tape, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. They are your questions. They are his answers. Ask Ross, brought to you by our good friends at 409TailgateClub.com. That's Powers quarter number three. And in quarter four, we'll preview Kent State versus Penn State.
Good.
Noon kick.
Nice catch there.
It's at Penn State. State. I had to stop because I was like, State.
Uh-huh.
We'll have our picks and predictions. Yeah. We'll take a little bit of look inside the game. I don't know if we're going to have any bowl predictions. I'm a little gun-shy, not going to lie to you, to be honest. We're going to get to your six-pack in a minute, Bob. But quickly, I mean, truly, how wretched was Pitt on Saturday night? I just wanted to ask you that only because Penn State was vulnerable in the first half, I thought. Very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Five trips Pitt made inside the Penn State 35 and had two field goals to show it. But they literally could not stop shooting themselves in the face. And I was just struck to a degree. I was more enamored with what Penn State. I was more stuck on Penn State in the second half, despite Pitt continuing to slide down the side of the mountain at a rapid pace in the rain. That was what struck me in the second half. But I was awestruck by how truly wretched Pitt was in the first half, and how, with a Penn State vulnerability, as Penn State being as vulnerable as it was, they were ripe for the picking, and Pitt said, "Nah, we're just going to shoot ourselves in the face." Pat Narduzzi, phony tough. That 15-yard penalty.
Penn State had more talent. I think we knew that going in.
Sure.
But I think what you saw, Andy, is philosophically and psychologically, Penn State had a much better plan. You could just tell Narduzzi was pressing, desperately wanting to win that game, and he just was trying so hard, overthinking some things. I thought he made some poor decisions. Whereas James Franklin, you know, he's got enough athletes now, and I think he knows he's in Narduzzi's head.
He's
just going to let Pitt make a mistake and open the floodgates, and that's what they did. That fourth and three call was a joke.
That was terrible.
The unsportsmanlike conduct call. I mean, I think he is overmatched as a head coach. I think he is a coordinator only. That's what I think about Pat Narduzzi.
Attitude reflect leadership,
and
boss.
The way
it
he
was
can't
clear.
He cannot handle press conferences at all. He just cannot. He doesn't know what to say. He lets his emotions get the best of him, and I just think that he's overmatched as a head coach.
That's interesting because They beat up Penn State a couple years ago, the year that Penn State went and won the Big Ten.
Right.
They
held on for dear life.
And by the way, they were beating the snot out of Penn State Saturday night for the first half. I mean, I thought he's not maybe your typical CEO head coach, but I thought they had the right game plan. Their players are not as good as Penn State's players.
I agree.
To come out and just smash them in the mouth. What, they have 200 yards rushing in the first half?
214.
By the way, somebody looked this up that has more time than me. I've never heard of a team losing by 40-some points that had over 200 yards rushing in the first half. I mean, and you say that, Bob, but really, that game is a different game if the Australian punter had ever seen rain or water before in his life. I mean, I think you're discounting the fact that it evidently never rains in Australia.
I don't know, Ross. I mean, Pitt had five trips inside the Penn State 35 in the first half and couldn't put any points on the board. What was going to change about that? I mean, they had a plan just like they did last year.
Well, if they made those two field goals, then they're – what was the score at halftime? 14-6?
It was 14-6, and Penn State scored late. It was really 7-6 for with about a couple minutes to go.
Penn State was vulnerable.
I think if the kid doesn't fumble the punt and the field goals, Penn State still would have won the game, but it wouldn't have been 51-6. And by the way, if we're talking about things that are befitting a head coach –
I know where you're going with this. Let's save that for later.
Okay. All right.
Let's save that for later.
All right. We can absolutely talk about that one.
This isn't my segment. I'll let you steer it.
We might have a question or two about that.
By the way, you wear that shirt every day.
No, I don't.
Every Thursday, you wear that shirt. I know you look pretty good in it, but that's like, I mean, it's the same pink blue stripe thing every Thursday. Does your wife put out your Thursday shirt? Is that your Thursday shirt?
My wife doesn't do.
So anyway, this is the Six for Saturday segment, Ross, and yeah, we're halfway through it.
We're doing your Six for Saturday. Speaking of this show, this is the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio, and we are brought to you by Shotzi's Jumbo Brats. Whether tailgating at a game or having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats belong on your grill. They are supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. Shotzi's Jumbo Brats in football, it doesn't get any better than that. And don't forget to add Shotzi's Jalapeno Relish. Get your Shotzi's Brats at shotzisbrats.com or at the gopsurv.com lot every home game weekend. All right, Six for Saturday, Bob. Let's do it. The rush defense is clearly in the spotlight. The defense as a whole might be a little bit in the spotlight, but clearly the rush defense.
Yeah, over 400 yards through two games. The Appalachian State kid, who's a good running back, had his moments, obviously, right, in the opener. Penn State really struggled, I think, with some of the things Pitt did in the first half, 214 yards. Now, game flow might have changed what Pitt wanted to do once the game started to get away from them in the second half, and they really couldn't maybe stick to their game plan, and I think they only had 35 yards. But I do think with Kevin Givens back, and hopefully he will stay in the lineup.
Yeah, that helps.
And as some of the linebackers, especially Micah Parsons, get more experience, I mean, they can't be giving up this many yards per carry. They're gonna face some offensive lines and some running backs in the Big Ten that if it is not cleaned up in a hurry, those 200-yard games, they're going to be 350-yard games. And right, I think that they can get it cleaned up, but I still think it's definitely a cause for concern.
Yeah, I agree. But there is no cause for concern with Penn State's offense. Even though they kind of sputtered a little bit in the first half Saturday, once they get in the scoring zone, they've been really good this season.
10 for 10 in the red zone, 9 touchdowns. The final score is 51-6. If Penn State maybe blocked a little bit on the perimeter, it might have been 71-6 because Miles had some big plays.
Yeah, he had one called back with a penalty, too.
Well, yeah, and he had the wheel route on the pick. That was a touchdown. That was a Saquon Barkley special. And they both could have been avoided. I mean, they were kind of ticky-tack. But in the red zone, they've been very good, and I think it speaks to – they don't have any negative yardage plays with Miles running the ball. You know what I mean? He keeps that offense, I think –
On track.
There's a couple.
James was so mad at him.
It's the weather. I mean,
I know.
Those were difficult conditions. I don't know if you could see on the TV how bad it was. It was really bad.
It was horrible.
I just think Miles has really kind of answered the bell. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. But yeah, they're not going to go. I mean, there's going to be some issues in the red zone eventually, but right now they're doing a great job.
Yeah, did you see how mad James Franklin got at Miles in the fourth quarter on the run where he tried to bounce outside instead of hitting the hole?
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, you never – Saquon Barkley did that 50 times in his career, and for good reason you didn't care, but I was like, come on, the kid's a stud. He made one mistake. But, you know, at James's level, he wasn't happy. It wasn't a good look for James, I didn't think, to get that mad at your
fourth quarter things got a little away from, I thought, James a little bit.
Yeah, I think if he looks back, he'll be like, yeah, I need to cool down just a little bit in the fourth quarter. Trace McSorley could have a lot better numbers. this year if his wide receivers don't have the drops, but he continues to throw touchdown passes and deliver in the red zone, whether with his legs or with his arms. He's an absolute stud for this team.
30 straight games of at least a touchdown pass, longest active streak in FBS. And this, I think, ties into another thing we're talking about, the wideouts. The veteran wideouts haven't really gotten it together yet.
Right.
DeAndre Tompkins does not have a catch yet. He dropped a touchdown pass against Pitt. It was right in his hands. Almost got hurt on the play. Can't be too hard on him because he did have the punt return
when that
guy kicked a line drive right to him on the 39-yard line. It was almost – you could almost see he was going to score the minute he caught it.
Right.
But, I mean, if you look at the history of DeAndre Tompkins and his stats, he's going to have a monster game. He had one against Maryland when he was young. He had one against Michigan State. But they do – when you have KJ Hamler on your team,
right,
if DeAndre Tompkins doesn't get off to a great start, it's not as big of a deal because that guy is really special.
Are you concerned about Juwan Johnson, speaking of DeAndre Tompkins, not having a catch?
Well, he has some catches.
I know. He had some catches.
My concern is he doesn't look fast.
That's a good point.
My concern is he almost looks like a tight end. And I keep hearing how he's going to play in the NFL and how he's got these great testing numbers. But it does look like he has time. There's times where he has trouble separating, and you just wonder what kind of receiver he's going to be. I don't know how fast he is, but he does not look like he always plays fast.
All right.
Ross, I don't know if you agree with that.
I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit in Tucker's tape, but
yeah.
I think the receivers are a major question mark right now, which we didn't think would be the case. And thank goodness for KJ Hamler.
Man, is he good.
I mean, yeah, thank goodness for him. It's always weird, too. Like, he was on the team last year. They just chose to redshirt him. Like, I always wonder, like, in that situation, how much better has he gotten this year than he was last year that they didn't feel the need to use him?
Amani Ariarie. Did I get it right?
No. I don't think he did. Amani Ariarie.
Ariarie. I committed to trying.
Okay.
He's a stud. There's a reason he's such a highly ranked cornerback.
Well, he's got the measurables. He didn't really have – I didn't think he had a great game against App State. He made the play, though, at the end of the game. He was better against Pittsburgh. He should have had another interception, but he definitely knows how to play the ball when it's in the air, and that's not that easy to do.
Right.
A lot of corners can't do it. He's got the ideal size, and I do think he is helping himself, but I think that scouts will see that there's been some plays that he has not played well. But he does track the ball very well. And I do think he's looking at 6 or 7 interception season.
Last one before we get out. We got to all six. It would be Kent State's quarterback, Woody Barrett, is another dual threat quarterback.
Big.
You're going to see them more, and he's a big kid. And what is he, 6'2", 220?
235. Auburn, hot, a blue chip recruit, Auburn. He played at Auburn, transferred to Kent State. I know it was Illinois. He had a big game on the road at Illinois, like 380 yards of total offense.
He could have won that game.
I do think that he's going to make some plays. He's just not going to make enough of them.
All right. That'll do it for quarter number one from the Labatt Blue Studio. Stick with us. Tucker's Tape is coming up next.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.